If I'm not mistaken, I think your test, first actual test, should be next week in all the rest of your classes. Am I right? Anybody got the schedule? I think it's for the 7th. October 7th is your first test date for the classes. You can check to make sure, because normally after about 4 classes, we have a test date unless they change the schedule. So just kind of give you a heads up. Next week, as far as I know, should be test week. So the 8th, that's what, Monday? Okay, we have the 8th. Okay, so that will be next week. All right, let's go ahead and get into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you for our apostle. Thank you for ever-increasing word training center, Lord God. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord God, by your spirit. Thank you for setting up apostolic government, Lord God. And we thank you right now for Jesus, the head of the church, Lord God. And we thank you for the fivefold ministry gifts, Lord God. Hallelujah. And that, Lord God, we're learning how to walk in divine order. We're learning how to walk in honor, Lord God, how to respect and honor the gifts that God has placed in our midst, Lord God. We just give you all the glory and all the praise. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for showing up, because if you don't show up, I'll fall flat on my face. I lean completely and totally unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things I talked about is that order is the structure of honor. When you have order, divine order, it will produce honor. When you know how to walk in the right proper governmental order, there's always a protocol. There's always a pattern to government and to God's divine order. And by walking in that, you can't help but walk in honor. You know, and that's so very important, because once you know how a structure of government is set up, it just will produce honor, because you honor what God has established. And when God's kingdom is set up properly, you can't help but walk it in honor. Amen. One of the things I want to talk about today, and we're going to do some reading from the Word of God, is when someone or people walk out of order, how there's consequences. Matter of fact, anytime you walk in dishonor, there's consequences. And it's so very important to know what God has established. You don't come against what God has established, God's divine order, God's apostolic government. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. And I'm going to probably deal with this most of the class session, because it's a very important lesson on dishonor and the consequences of dishonor. And even though you might think you have a legal right to speak into somebody's life or to correct somebody or to state your opinion, if God set up a divine order, you got to respect that order. And when you respect it and submit to it, you're going to walk in honor. But when you disrespect what God has established, his government, his church, there's consequences. And we're going to look at that. I'm going to be doing some reading in Numbers chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 1. We're going to be talking about Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. Now, just to give you some background, Miriam was Moses' older sister. She was several years older than Moses. As we know, Moses was God's apostolic leader for that day. Moses led the people, or the children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the captivity and the bondage of Pharaoh. Aaron was also a brother of Moses. They grew up in the same house together. Now Moses, when he was known, or they saw that he was a proper child, or that God's hand was on his life, Miriam was actually, according to the author, if you read, and I'm coming from around, I guess, page, I don't know if it's 50 something in the book, but she was actually given the appointment of being an overseer or an intercessor for Moses, to kind of watch over Moses. when they knew that there was going to be an attack on his life, they put Moses in a basket and put him in the water. And Miriam was the one that watched him until the Egyptian queen found him and took him as a son. And she was the one that actually went up to her and says, "I know somebody who can actually take care of him for you and be like a midwife or, you know, somebody to nurture," which was actually Moses' mother, Jochebed. Anyway, let's move on and let's read the scripture. It says in verse 1 of Numbers chapter 12, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." Now, in verse 1, we see here both Aaron, who is the brother, and Miriam speaking against Moses because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Just to make it plain and very simple, Moses married a black young lady, and they got a little upset about that, you know, and they felt because we have natural ties. I'm a brother and a sister. Look, you don't go against the family. You went across the fence and you married somebody. And now, you know, from a natural point of view, they especially Miriam thought, you know, well, I've been interceding for Moses for many years that I could say what I need to say and get this off my chest. But it says here in verse 2, "And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." You got to be careful what you say, because God is omnipotent and omnipresent. And whenever God sets up divine authority, you know, apostolic authority, we'll see how God looks at this situation and how God corrects this situation, because of the fact that both of them were technically out of order and not following God's protocol, not understanding ranks, levels, and what God has blessed or what God has ordained. You know, you don't mess with that. Move on. Verse 3. "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Now, one thing about that word meek, a lot of times people look at the word meek and they inadvertently think about weakness, you know, meekness and weakness. But meekness does not have true meekness has no weakness in it at all. When the Lord talked about Moses being the meekest man upon the earth, that means that Moses submitted completely and totally unto God. When you yield to God, you know, your meekness or your willingness to yield to God, you know, is a meekness, because you're being, how can I say this? Your heart is so tender that, "Lord, I don't want to do anything that would undermine your authority. I'm walking in total submission. Or I'm walking meekly before you. I'm not. It's not my will. It's not about me, but it's all about you." You know, there's no weakness involved, because when you're walking and you're doing with God and you're yielding to God, there's an exchange of your physical weakness. Because even Moses says, "Lord, I can't even speak." You know, the Lord called him and told him, you know, when he saw the burning bush, I want you to go into to deliver my people from the bondage of the taskmasters. He said, "Lord, I can't even speak." He said, "Look, hey, I'm God. I am who I am. I've called you. You know, I'll be there with you." And he even had Aaron to do a lot of his talking for him. But God had called Moses to be an apostolic leader, to lead his people out of the bondage of Pharaoh. And because of that, Moses, like I said, was very meek at following God's instructions. Moving on. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him. he in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Let me just stop there. So basically what the Lord is saying, you know, if I want to communicate with you, I can use a prophet. You know, he said, but Moses is not so. Moses is my apostolic leader. You know, he's my friend. You know, I speak to him mouth to mouth, face to face. You know, Moses was the one God called up when Moses saw the burning bush and he went up into the mountain, and God spoke to him face to face, even though Moses couldn't look up on the bush because it wasn't being consumed, and that was the presence and the Shekinah glory was there. But Moses was literally in the presence of God, you know, and he said, you know, my servant Moses is, I don't speak to him just in a dream. A lot of times a person who walks in a prophetic gift may have interpretation of dreams or have dreams and visions. You know, but he said, my servant Moses is even higher than that. I speak to him whenever I get ready because he's my friend. You know, so what you're messing with, Marion and Aaron, you're messing with my apostolic man. This is the man that I have called to lead my people out of bondage. You know, it's not your place to judge or to criticize or to correct him. If Moses needs correcting, God says, I'm the man that's going to correct him. And so here we see that God is actually, you know, apostle said it, calling them on the carpet, you know, and according to scriptures, the Shekinah glory of God was shut up in the Holy of Holies. You had the outer court, you had the inner court, and you had the most holy of holies. And it was only once a year where the power of God came down and the high priest went and offered up an atonement for the sins of the people for a year. But because of this sin of dishonor, because it was so, God thought it was so significant that he had to come down and actually violate some of his own legal ramification or legal laws of not coming out. You know, he came out to, the Bible says he came out to the door of the tabernacle. He came out, he didn't go outside, but he was right at the door and he called them there. Let's read on. It says in verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. Well, start at verse 8. With him will I speak. It's talking about Moses, mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And with the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed, and the pillar of cloud from off the tabernacle, and beheld Marin became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and she behold her, and she was a leprous. So here, now, because of this sin of dishonor, of disrespecting, of dishonoring God's man, God's apostolic authority on the earth at that time, God had to deal with God will deal with dishonor, with disobedience, and not following the protocol, you know. I've seen that happen in many instances where people try to step over and because they think they have a legal right or some premise to stand on, because, you know, I've been studying my Bible for 25 years, you know, God hear me and I speak to God, you know, so I can tell my pastor what to say or that he's wrong. You know, I can tell my man of God, no, I don't think that's right. No, God is the one that's going to correct. You know, and it's so very important that we understand that, because when you get out of order like that, there's consequences. Matter of fact, there was something I want to share along that line. Give me a second. Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian woman. She showed dishonor towards Moses because of her lack of understanding apostolic authority. She showed dishonor and disrespect to Moses. And whenever that happens, as I stated earlier, there's always going to be consequences. There's always going to be consequences. Just like God has set up civil law and order in the natural realm, God also has a spiritual law and order. When you get out of spiritual order and show dishonor or sow a seed of dishonor, there's going to be consequences that's going to result. And in those consequences, we see Miriam stricken with leprosy, you know, and after she was cast out the camp, the Bible says, for 7 days because of her dishonor, you know, and the tribe didn't move forward until that seventh day when she was able to come back into the camp. But what was about to happen was that God was about to bring his people into the promised land. And a lot of times when there's a spiritual breakthrough or when God is trying to do something in a ministry, you know, or you know, God is really, you know, you're right at the break of what God is wanting you to walk into. There's always a disruption. Satan will always try to bring in something to discredit or to bring a reproach to the church. And that's why it's so important that divine order has to be set up and that people understand that, you know, anytime that you blatantly dishonor a life source, the author says, no matter what source it is or what person it is, but it's a life source. We talked about that. Anybody that produces, that nurtures life. You know, as a pastor, an apostle, or a prophet, they're constantly speaking into people's life. So they're constantly ministering life. The author talks about life sources and how, you know, it's very important that we don't dishonor. You know, even your parents, you know, they, because of their years, because of their experience, because of the knowledge they have, a lot of times, I remember growing up as a kid, there were times my dad would discipline me or tell me, I don't want you to do this, and I didn't understand it. I wanted to be like everybody else, grow up and just be a normal kid, you know. But over time, I began to learn that discipline, that sternness kept me from going in the directions that I didn't need to go. It kept me from, you know, I remember when I was a senior in high school. And there was a senior party. I'll never forget it. And I wanted to be with my friends. But I had been taught about drinking and about smoking and about hanging with the wrong crowd. And a lot of times when you get them seeds planted in you, when you know, and if you're really sensitive to the Spirit of God, God will begin to tell you when you're in the wrong place or when you're in the wrong crowd. And I was there. I was at this party. We were about to graduate. And some of my friends were drinking and, you know, and I'm just there just hanging out with them. I felt like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole. I was trying to conform, but I just couldn't, you know, because of having an authority or a father who's spoken to my life. And that's what apostolic authority does. An apostle speaking into your life, speaking life into your life. And I remember a friend of mine, I don't know if I shared this story, but he was sitting over in the corner with his girlfriend. He and I played basketball together. We hung out together. They were in the corner smoking a marijuana cigarette, a joint. And he looked at me, he says, my nickname was Spoon. He said, Spoon, he said, we're about to graduate. School is out. You know, you're out of school. Basketball season is over because I played basketball. And he said, enjoy yourself. Have a good time. You know, come on, get high with us. And he gave it to me. And I had it in my hand. And I'm looking at it. And I'm turning it like this. You know, and I'm just kind of examining it. And all of a sudden, I just said, nah, it's not for me. So I gave it back to him. I said, here, Terry, I can't use this. And he said, well, don't worry about it. I know what to do with it. So he and his girlfriend went over there and got high. So I walked over with some other friends. They were drinking Miller's. So they said, man, get your beer. So I got a beer and I opened it up. sipped it, some nasty stuff. And so I'm trying to conform. I'm trying to conform, you know. But on the inside, because of having a father, now this is just a natural father, but a spiritual father is even greater. It just, something didn't feel right. I felt like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole, you know. And it just, after a while, I said, look, the guy that I went with, I said, look, I'm going to go up front in the lobby and call my dad and have him come pick me up. He said, man, I'll drop you when I get ready to go. I said, no, I'm ready to go now. And so I went home. I know my dad, he smelt, you know, because when you're around that kind of environment, was in the environment, gets on you. He didn't say anything to me. He just told me, saying, I'm glad you basically had enough sense to call me so you can come home. And so I went on home, and that was the last week of school, so we had like one or two more days left. And when I got to school, that I was on a Friday, and I got to school that Monday, I heard that right after I left, that everything, the bottom just fell out. You know, police came, you know, people got interrogated. One young lady who I knew very well, because she was so intoxicated, don't really know what happened to her. She basically got raped, you know. But I was spared from all of that, you know. It was just, and I guess what I want to say is, when you have order and structure, and you honor that, it'll lead you into green pastures, because honor is one thing. When you honor someone and you respect them and you flow in the vein that you've been taught, you can't help but be blessed. I want to read this. All life comes from God. And when people blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. Anytime you blatantly dishonor, you know, and by dishonor, one of the greatest areas of dishonor, when you're dishonoring an apostolic man of God, is when you don't walk in the revelation and the truth that he's producing. When you're sitting under it, but you're not, it's not producing in your life. You're not allowing it to become a part of who you are. Because one of the things in honor, you know, in the military, when you move up in rank, the reason why you move up in rank is because you've learned the whatever military protocol, you've passed the test, and you've proven yourself to be faithful, to be a marksman at this particular job or position, and so now you get promoted. Well, spiritually, when you've proven yourself to be faithful, and you've heard and you've said and you've listened, and now God can trust you, your man of God can trust you, that's when promotion comes, and you honor that apostolic authority in your life by walking in the revelation truths that he's been pouring out week after week, you know, month after month, year after year, and you begin to see fruit in your life. There's no greater joy for a parent, and I can say this without reservation, when you see your kids become independent and responsible, and the things that you've tried to instill in them over the years, all of a sudden now you see it manifest in their life. Even though at times it may not seem, look like it ain't nothing happening. But all of a sudden they come and they say, Dad, I remember when you told me this, and I really appreciate you. I'll never forget one time my son, he locked himself out of his car on campus when he was at Southeastern, and he had all kind of problems. I left work and I had to help him get in his car and then put gas in it, and he was just kind of unraveled. And while I was at the gas station putting gas in it, he just looked up to him and said, Dad, he said, you came, you left work, you came and you did this. And And when he locked his keys out the car, we had to call Papa Lock, and it was like late in the evening, so they you know, came late but was able to unlock it. And then even after we unlocked it, he had problems with his steering because the ignition switch wasn't working properly. So I kept working with it till I got it to start, and we was able to drive it back home. But while I was putting gas in it, it just dawned on him, you know, the love of a father. And he just bust out and just started crying and just walked up to me and just hugged me and said, I thank you, you know, because I was in a tight spot and you was able to get me out, you know. But one thing I told him, I said, just learn the lesson, you know, learn the lessons of things I told you. And then you won't see the consequences, you know. You'll always come out on top. And that's so very important. So very important. Let's go back to the scriptures right quick. I want to look at the part where it says that, let's go back up a little bit. Verse 7 says, "My servant Moses is not so. He is faithful," I didn't read this, "in all mine house." Faithfulness, when you walk in faithfulness, the Bible says, it's important that a servant be found faithful. You know, when you're faithful to something, you're loyal to it. You pledge your allegiance to it. And when you pledge your allegiance and you align yourself properly, you can't help but walk in honor. You know, God will always call you to a ministry. God will raise up an apostolic leader to produce in that region what is lacking. And when you now align yourself, you know, I talked about in Psalms, I think it's 100, about how the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. Aaron was the high priest, and how, you know, the anointing always flows down from the top. And and when you align yourself properly, you might be the arms or the legs or the fingers or even the toes. But when you're in the right position, you know. One of the things that's so very important that I want to see in young men and women that's aspiring to do things for God is to get in your proper position for God. You walk in honor when you now begin to fulfill your God-given destiny. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. You know, but at the same time also too, you know, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And when we begin to walk in that God-given destiny, that God-given purpose, you're more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. Because now God is empowering you, because you know, there's no sense in him putting his power and his ability in us to do something he didn't call us to do. It's not going to happen, you know. But when you say, "Lord, you know, here am I, you know, I'm just a vessel, and you're the potter and you're the clay. Begin to mold me and shape me in your image." You know, you're giving honor to God. You're giving honor to your man of God. You're giving honor to your parents, because now you begin to walk into your God-given destiny, you know. And by doing so, you affect people's lives. One of the things the Lord showed me years ago, he says, people are watching you. They're watching how you serve your man of God. They're watching how you relate to people, you know. And you never know, and you never realize how many people that you are affecting, because your life becomes now an open book. When you begin to serve and you serve properly and honor, your life becomes an open book, and people read it every time they see you. You know, you have no idea the impact that you have on people, because they watch you serve. They watch and they see. And that's, you know, going back to what I said, one of the greatest areas of honor, you know. What is the greatest area of dishonor is when people don't act on the word, but when now you're acting on it and you're walking in it, You become a book written and read of all men, because they see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They see, you know, when I go into the prison and there've been times where when we were about to leave, I never forget this one time, and they were escorting the inmates back to their particular barracks. And one of the inmates said, "Sir, come here for a minute." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, there's a lot of ministries that come into our facility." This was at DCI. He said, but you guys are anointed. There's a difference. We sense a difference when y'all come, you know? And all I can say is because of the leadership, because of the apostolic mantle and the apostle that we serve under, when, you know, and I remember some 27, 28 years ago in the old church, when I asked him a question about our circles that we were having years ago, or word cells it was called, and he answered it, and then he said, "No, you're in here for another reason, not just that. Sit back down. I got something I want you to do. He says, "I want you to start going into the prisons." He says, "I want you to begin to develop your gift that God has placed in you, and start going out and ministering to the men in prison." And when you now, when I got that assignment, I walked out the door and my knees buckled. And I said, "Oh, I can't do that. I can't do that." But then I said, "If my man of God thinks enough of me to call me into prison ministry, Lord, you're just going to have to help me." And you know, it took a while, but the more I began to yield and just give myself and say, "Lord, you know, I'm not doing this, you know, out of my own strength, but I'm doing it in your strength." And now you're aligning yourself. You're getting in the will of God for your life. You know, that brings an honor to you. And you see, when you honor your man of God by flowing in, some people have talents and abilities like anointed singing, anointed playing. How many people play an instrument or maybe play in a praise band or sing? You know, greeters or just whatever, you know. But when you begin to walk in your God-given destiny, you know, now God is able to empower you to such a great degree. But, you know, not to get off the topic too much, but when you dishonor by doing something contrary to what doesn't need to be done, and going and you know, I've seen people who should have stayed who left, you know, and they left too early, and they brought a disgrace to themselves, and it was chaotic. I'm gonna give you one other illustration, and I don't know if I've shared this. I try to share it in every class that I teach. When I was like you guys in the school of ministry, and that was like 27, 28 years ago now, I don't remember what year class this is in succession, but I was in the charter class. I never forget, one of the instructors was ministering, and he was sharing some things about faith. I was sitting in the back. I might have even shared this before, but it's worth repeating. I always told you I'm a repeater. And apostle ended up walking, and there was a back door, and he walked in the back and he sat out. Nobody saw him but maybe two or three people. And the instructor was constantly ministering. And he said something, and he kind of got maybe tripped up in what he was saying. He twisted a few words, and it didn't come out exactly right, but, you know, you knew what he was saying. And all of a sudden, the students began to correct him. So I said, "Well, I think what you really meant to say was this." And then another student said, "Well, yeah." And all of a sudden, from what started out to be a teaching session became to be a discussion. And I'm sitting back there, and I never forget the guy who was sitting next to me, because he and I was probably the only two people who saw Apostle walk in. This was, like I said, 27 years ago. But even then, you knew back then that correction and rebuke was about to take place. I mean, I was in fear and trembling, and I didn't even say a word. I wasn't even involved in the discussion. I was scared, because I said, "Oh, man." And I'm kind of looking. Apostle didn't say nothing. He just let it go on for about two or three minutes. And then he stood up and said, "Excuse me." And it was the dean that was teaching that time. "Excuse me, dean." He walked up and says, "I'm the president of this school. And if there's any correction that need to be done, I'm the one that's going to correct it. You are not in a position to correct that instructor. That's for me to do, you know, divine order. That's why when I say divine order, that's what I'm talking about, a protocol, you know, so that things can be set up right. And then the government, even in those early years of the ministry, God was framing him and he had, you know, an apostolic mantle, I believe, and for government and for order. Back then, that was, you know, when I say the old church, that was the first church, that was the first church that held about maybe 35 people in it, you know. But I'll never forget that, because it taught me. Remember, on my first class, I said some things can be taught, but some things you got to catch. I caught that, you know. You want to follow divine order, and you don't want to. I mentioned the word before, usurp authority, trying to show that you know something more so than somebody else, that God placed over you as a mentor, as an instructor or a teacher. You know, that doesn't fly. Not in government. And that's so very important that we understand that. There's one other thing I want to touch on. In ministry and in life, there's always going to be things that come up in our lives that challenge us. It challenges us in ways where we have to make decisions. You know, you always want to base those decisions on the Word of God. You know, the choices you make, it's so very important that we make the right choices based on the Word of God, based on following protocol. Give you an illustration. I had to correct a gentleman today who was in prison ministry, and I just kind of briefly talked about it, because he went to a facility and he didn't think things were set up properly. You know, he thought the inmate chaplain wasn't doing his job, and he said, it don't make no sense for me to drive here and minister to these seven people, and you know, I don't think we're doing the progress we need to do. And it got back to me what he said. So I read the memo. I called him from work, and I said, I'm calling you because of what you read and what you said. You know, I said, we're there on an apostolic mandate from apostle. You know, however they set up the ministry there, we submit to it. Whoever they put in charge over the classes, we submit to them, even though we might have more spiritual insight than them, because they were put in that position. We submit to them, you know, and we're there to help, to instruct and to encourage and to build them up. You know, don't say that somebody need to be removed. You didn't place them there. You know, that's not your call. Even though you might, kind of like Miriam, you know, Miriam thought that Moses, you know, you're going outside your race, Moses, stay in your, no, that wasn't Miriam's call to do, you know. And I have to say it, I was almost in a position, you're going to have to step down. But I saw his heart. And he said, yeah, Brother Greg, I really appreciate you sharing that with me. I needed to hear that. I said, okay. I said, you know, just, you know, recognize the Bible says, Jesus said he'll leave the 99 to go after the one. You know, so it's not about the numbers, but it's about you important into what God placed you over. You know, the Bible says to despise not small beginnings. You know, though your beginning may be small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. You know, I remember for years going into prisons and ministering to one or two people, you know, but when you're faithful to do what you're called to do, God is the one that brings the promotion that puts you in a position now where because he can trust you, the assignment gets bigger, you know. But at the same time, now the yielding and the submission and the honor has to be to a greater level. Because there's all in God, there's always more. There's always more. And so you're always striving, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor and glory unto you, you know, and by serving and by submitting and yielding and flowing with God's Spirit. One of the things that's so very important is, you know, before you ever minister or ever, I see it, before you ever minister or share with anybody, you know, pray in the Holy Ghost for a little while. Ask God for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. Give me understanding, enlightenment, you know, because there's no way that you can minister effectively without first hearing from God. Because you might have, you might, you know, even in a lesson, you know, 67% of what I just said ain't in my notes. Some of it is, but not all of it. I have to learn how to just, Lord, flow with your anointing, flow with the Holy Spirit, because by doing so, people get blessed, and you fulfill the will of God by doing so. Amen. Amen. All right. Like I said, next week should be test week for the rest of the classes. So be prepared. Study all of your notes, your tests from the previous classes, and everything should come from the quizzes. Amen. You guys be blessed.